Okay, so this is the section of Mavir and Mechaber, which literally means kindling and extinguishing. Now, what's interesting about, Sinod is as follows. A lot of times, when we focus on the halachos of kindling, so we often study it in the context of Bishul. But the truth is, as we're going to see, there's a whole other discussion about kindling and extinguishing that is independent of cooking. Adam David Edelman. Did I just see you in Florida like a day ago? Is that all right? Okay. Oh my gosh! All right. So in any event, so here I want to focus a little bit on these halachos outside of Bishul. So look what the Rambam Lamed writes. He says as follows: Melachas Havara. So the Melach of kindling. He says Ne'emar Batorah, the Yom Hashvi'i Shabbos Lashem Elokecha Lo Sas Kol Melachos. The Torah says on the seventh day Shabbos. It's a Shabbos, 7 days of Shabbos to Hashem. Don't do any malacha. Now, again, here's what's interesting to note. We've learned this before. How many malachas are there on Shabbos? How many malachas? 39. Right? 39 malachas on Shabbos. Now, what's intriguing about this is, of course, where are the malachas of Shabbos listed? By the Mishnah. But just remember, they're not listed in the Torah. Right, the malachos are less than the Torah. So where do we learn the malachos of Shabbos from? Uberu chachamim shakavanas haTorah lesser b'Shabbos as called lamed tes sugi hamalachos shenasu l'tzar hakamas haMishkan. So remember, we know because of the juxtaposition between the sections of Shabbos and the Mishkan that the Torah is looking to equate those two things and to tell us whatever type of malacha was done in the either what we'll call creation or maintenance of the Mishkan is prohibited on Shabbos. So you're right, we have a Mishnah that lists the Lamed Tes Malachas, but remember again, the Mishnah is gleaning that from the juxtaposition as well. Fine. So listen to this. So again, where does Havara? Now, as we're going to see in just a moment, the Malacha of Havara is unique. Why? It is the only malacha of Shabbos which is explicitly stated. The Torah says, "Lo sivaru eish b'chomo shoseichem b'yom haShabbos." Do not kindle a fire in your home on Shabbos. So it's explicit. It is the only malacha that is explicit. Nothing else is explicit. Now, where was kindling done in the Mishkan? What do you think? Where? Remember, kindling is the act of lighting a fire. Where was that done in the Mishkan? I'm sorry. So menorah, excellent. Karbanos, making dyes, right? So pretty much all, the truth is, if you think about it, so yeah, let's take a look. He says as follows, V'af shegam, skip down a little bit. V'af shegam malachas havaras ha'ish bechlalan, shekein hayu mav'irim eish kedei lahachin tzvoim l'tzviyas yiriyos ha'mishkan. So it's interesting, the example Rav Melamed brings down over here is boiling of dyes, boiling of herbs in order to make dyes for the curtains of the Mishkan. Now it's interesting because right, you have the menorah, you have karbanos. So why are they bringing down this example of boiling dyes? Because remember, again, really the 39 malachos of the Mishkan are primarily focused on the 39 malachos for the creation and fabrication of the Mishkan. Not as much, only secondarily, like the maintenance and usage. So kindling the menorah is functional, right? Functionality, karbanos. Functionality, but where was fire used in the creation of the Mishkan? Boiling of the dyes for the curtains. That's where Havara was done. Okay, so listen to this. So if you skip down, skip a little bit, skip actually to the next page. Skip down, go to page two, it should say page two on your right. You see where it says paragraph base, prate hilchos Havara. So, okay, so that's our intro. That's our intro to Havara. Havara was done on the Mishkan primarily again for the creation of the dyes. Okay, so let's skip the section base, page two. So listen to this. Hamavir eish kol shehi. So the kindling of any amount of fire. Im yesh badavar tzorech over al isr Torah. So the act of creating a fire, now we're going to see, by the way, creating a fire can mean actual creating a fire, or for that matter, intensifying a fire. If it's purposeful, you are in violation of a daraisa. Now understand, and we'll get to this as well, in general, for malacha, one is only chayiv if it is constructive. One is not chayiv for destructive behavior on Shabbos, which is why, by the way, this is actually a very important halacha to know, right? So remember, ideally, one is not supposed to cut toilet paper on Shabbos, right? Because what's the issue with cutting toilet paper on Shabbos? Right? Mechatech. We'll get to this also. Mechatech is one of the lametes melachos, which means cutting according to measure. So if a person tears off a square of toilet paper along the perforation, right? That could technically be mechatech. So what happens if one is using their bathroom and one does not have cut toilet paper? You know, what do you do? And don't say just use it and leave it on the roll, right? Right? Yad yeshiva, you know, right? So what do you do? Don't tear on the perforation. Right, because now that's not ideal. One should not l'chatchila rely on that. But again, what that allows for is that would be a more destructive act of cutting, since it's not done in a methodical, measured way. What it's done, you know, just a little bit more destructively. So again, in general, whenever a malacha is done in a destructive way, you are no longer at biblical level. Now, it may still be a derabanan. That's depending on the circumstance. But again, I'm just pointing this out over here. He says, so therefore, when kindling a fire, if done in a constructive way, one is chayiv. Ve'in ze mishana, im hidlik es ha'ish ayedei shifshuf avne ish, zubazu, o ayedei zuchuchis megadeles shirich za, es karni ha'shemish ba'otzma lakash, o shehidlik es ha'ish ayedei gafur or chashma. So this is very interesting. For Hilchos Shabbos purposes, it doesn't matter how you're starting that fire. Right, so it doesn't matter if you're taking two stones and, you know, rubbing them together. It doesn't matter if you're using a magnifying glass, right, and creating a fire like that, or if you're striking a match, right? The mechanism that you use to create the fire does not really matter. If you are doing something which starts a fire on Shabbos, one is chayiv for that. Similarly, doesn't matter if you're using oil, or if you're using naft, like paraffin, right? Like wax, right? Or electricity. By the way, this is where this is going to get very interesting, because as we'll discuss, the whole issue of use of electricity on Shabbos, according to most opinions, is an issue of havara, is an issue of kindling. So Rav Melamed writes over here, it doesn't make a difference how you're starting the fire. Whether you're starting the fire through electricity, through a magnifying glass, through a match, through oil, through wax, it doesn't make a difference. If you're starting a fire, that is the malacha of Havara. B'chol mikra, she'eskavin lahotzi esh votzia, avar al isr Torah. So he says, therefore again, halacha l'maisa, if your kavana is to create fire, and you create fire, that's the malacha. The mechanism you use to create the fire, that Rabbi Lama points out, is really almost irrelevant. We don't care. Now, interestingly enough, if you skip a little, he says, now this is, you skip a little bit to page three, the first full paragraph there. Kishem, shadlokos ish chadosha asura me'atora, kach hagboras ish asura me'atora. Now, we'll say along these same lines, in the same way that the creation of fire is problematic on Shabbos, so adding to an existing fire is also problematic on Shabbos. He says, therefore, now we'll say that's why, for example, even if just a simple example, a person has a flame on Shabbos, you cannot turn the dial to increase the gas. But the fire is already there. You're right. But on Shabbos, the malacha of Havara is either starting a new fire or adding on to an existing fire. He goes on. He says, now it's important to point out, and we'll get into this, Emir Tzashem, you know, hopefully soon. Va'amnam biyamtav hadin shona. Now, of course, understand, this is going to be one of the major distinctions between Shabbos and Yantiv. Laholid ish chadasha aser, ulahagbir es ha'ish ha'kayemes mutter, aval b'shabes gam hosafas ish asura mehatora. So this is very interesting. He says over here, he says, remember, on Yantiv, we're going to see on Yantiv, you're not allowed to create a new fire, but you can add on to an existing fire. So that's why on Shabbos, you're allowed to manipulate the dial on your stove, right? To increase the flame, to decrease the flame, but you can't create a new flame. Now, truth is, even on Yantiv, we're going to see, we get Telchos Yantiv one of these days, you know, there's going to be limitations on that also. You can't just do whatever you want. But Lamaisa, again, on Shabbos, creation of a new fire, or increasing, or we'll see decreasing of an existing fire is problematic. On Yantiv, it's Motor. He says, Lamashal. Okay, so if we skip a little bit, by the same idea, he says, you're not allowed to add oil to a fire. So let's say I have a flame, and I just want to add a little bit more oil into the flame on Shabbos. You can't do that. Anything that either adds to, so again, obviously the creation of a new fire is problematic, but even the adding something to an already existing fire is going to be problematic as well. Now he brings down, if you look at the next paragraph, he says, Okay, yes.
Would these include transferring a fire, if you will?
Like, what would he mean?
One candle from another candle?
Yeah. Yeah, because that would be creating new fire, correct. That's actually creating something new. That is correct. Yeah. So he brings down other examples, Shami Yechata, but he says something interesting. He says, if you look at the last paragraph on page 3, he says, B'shar shaner shemen munach ala shulchan, tzarech lishtad l'shol l'na'aneas ha'shulchan b'chazaka, shema yigrimu l'shemen l'hiskariv l'ner, v'alev ha'tegadol v'nimtza mavir. So this is interesting. He says, let's say a person lights Shabbos candles on the table. Let's say a person uses oil. So Ramam Reis says you have to be careful not to shake the table, right? Because what happens if you shake the table? Technically speaking, that could cause the oil, to concentrate a little bit more. And in that moment could actually cause the flame to become even bigger. Okay, it's an interesting idea. Turn the page. Page four. So again, we'll say, everything is important. It's not going, we're giving you the flavor of this. Look what he writes over here. So this is fascinating. He says, Gazru Chachamim, Shalo Yikra. So this is really interesting. Gazru Chachamim, Shalo Yikra Adam B'Shabbos La'araner. So Chazal made the following takana, that on Shabbos, you are not allowed to read by the candlelight. You're not allowed to read by candlelight. This is why. Shemetechahe alava v'yavolahatos hasenah. What are we concerned about? That when a person is reading, what's going to happen? Maybe whatever it is, the light dims a little bit. And what is the person going to do? They're going to adjust the candle, move the oil, whatever it is, and thereby end up intensifying the flame. So this is very important. So let's say I have my Shabbos candles, or for that matter, doesn't even have Shabbos, I have candles lit. So there is an Isser Darabanan to read by candlelight on Shabbos. Not allowed to do that out of concern that you may come to somehow adjust that flame and end up violating the malacha of mavir, of kindling.
Before electricity, once it was dark, they were done.
Once it was dark, they were done. Now, we'll see how it could be done. Watch this. He says, Va'amnam. So now, let me point out to you what's intriguing about this halacha. At the same time, so on one hand, we're saying you can't read by candlelight, which makes a lot of sense, right? Because if a person's reading or learning, you get so caught up, right? The light diminishes a little bit. Without even thinking, you may come to adjust the flame. It could be an Isser Daraisa. Now, on the other hand, Va'amnam. Tiknu Chachamim La'hadlik Ner L'Kavod Shabbos. Ulam, so listen to this. But on the other hand, Chazal made a takana that what? You have to light Shabbos candles. Now, what's the point of Shabbos candles? To use the light. So you have this interesting, almost like inherently contradictory or like tug. What is it? Tug of war. Thank you. Tug and pull.
Tug of war.
Okay. Isn't there another expression also?
Push and pull.
All right. Push and pull. No, push and pull is not that. Okay, they have a tug of war. All right, tug of war. It's true. Do they speak English in Canada? Yeah. So here's what's interesting. So on one hand, the halacha says you have to light Shabbos candles. And by the way, it's actually very important. The halacha of Shabbos candles is one is supposed to derive benefit from the light of the candles. That's why, by the way, this creates, again, we're going to do the circus of Shabbos candles, but this creates a whole interesting discussion about what happens if you're eating out. You're eating out on Shabbos night. So what's the right place to light your Shabbos candles if you're going to be eating out on Shabbos night? Because by the time I get home, again, the candles are going to be long, long extinguished. Okay, so we'll get to that a different time. But how do you reconcile the idea that I'm supposed to get benefit from a lot of the Shabbos candles, but yet the halacha is you can't read by candlelight on Shabbos? So how do you reconcile those two things? So look what he writes. This is fascinating. He says, Ulam Yehudo Shelmer Zeh, this is very important. What's the goal of Shabbos candles? To create what we'll call room illumination, right? And Chazal tells us, why do you have Shabbos candles? So two reasons. Number one, primary reason number one, the Gemara says, Shalom Bayis. Now, watch out. Now, by the way, although I'm sure you can read in very many beautiful and mystical and deep ideas, you know what Shalom Bayis means? Shalom Bayis means that Chazal did not want you slamming your foot into a wall on Shabbos. Because nothing is worse for your Shalom Bayis, right, than slamming your foot into a wall on Shabbos, right? That would be a big disaster. So therefore, again, interestingly enough, so therefore, what Rav Muhammad posits over here is that for that, all you need, right, all you need is a general amount of light. You see, there's a difference between using candlelight for general room illumination versus reading, right? Reading is a much more intense process, right, where a person is going to want to bring the light close, person is going to want to be able to see what's going on versus what? Versus general room illumination. How much light do you need in order not to slam your foot into the wall? Or for that, the other reason was, it's actually interesting that the Gemara brings down that seeing what you eat creates a much greater culinary experience than not seeing what you eat. That's actually, the Gemara brings down, a blind person is never full. Now, what does it mean a blind person is never full? That the Gemara says, like, a blind person never really gets the full satiety of a meal. We know this, right? Because sometimes, like the appreciation and the enjoyment you get from a meal is not just about the food, right? But it's what? It's the presentation, right? How it looks, right? And there is, like, there's like an ocular experience with eating as well. You see, like, a nice plate of food, and it looks pretty, and it's arranged right. That's part of the experience. So the goal of Shabbos candles is just to create enough light so as to allow for the Seudah to be enjoyable and for you not to, trip over anything and ruin your Shalom Bayis. So that's fine. No one's bringing their Shabbos candles right up to their plate, to see what's going on. As long as there's general room illumination, that's going to work. Reading, however, is a fundamentally different issue. And that's why Chazal make that distinction. He goes on, he says, Ulam, yudu shal ner zehu l'tzor chasu de she'in adoreshes iyon rav. The Shabbos candles are there just to light up the room in a general sense. And one is not going to need to use the light in close proximity to appreciate that experience. V'chein kedei sheyuchlu l'aleches b'bayis lo l'skal b'rehitim. Ava asu chachamim lasos la'ar aner davar shadorish iyon rav. What you can't do on Shabbos is you can't use candlelight to do something which requires an incredible amount of concentration, right? Or very close proximity of the light. That's what you can do. So the paradigmatic example of that is reading. So this is actually, to Steve's point, you have an electric, you have a power outage. And so you go into Shabbos again with candles lit. Again, enjoy the Shabbos, but you're not allowed to read by candlelight. Now again, what does that mean? He says Shema mitoch shir taliros tov yate eshaner v'mir tzelimol laaner. So what? So one second. What happens though if all I have is candlelight? Right. So what does it mean before electricity? So that's it. Shabbos came. Shabbos night came. No one learned. No one learned. No one read because there was candlelight. That's it. So he writes something so beautiful. He says Yivakish michabero lashkia chalav shelo yate eshaner. What should you do? Ask your friend to watch out for you. In other words, the concern over here is that if I'm reading by candlelight on Shabbos, what are we concerned about? What are we concerned about? I'm not going to think about it, and I'm just going to go ahead and adjust the flame. So what's the best way to go ahead and avoid that? Get a friend. Phone a friend, right? Well, don't phone a friend. But, have a friend there. So as long as you're not doing this alone, and therefore, again, in the event that I'm ready to adjust the flame, someone else is there to prevent me from making a mistake. All right, so we'll stop over here for tonight. So there's more about this in Meretz Hashem, but we'll pick up with this sugya tomorrow, next week in Meretz Hashem. Shkoyach, everyone. And Amud Yomi begins tonight in Meretz Hashem with Rav Chaim Sfira after 9 o'clock. Ma'ariv, Mesechas Megillah. Very exciting. Shkoyach.
Thank you very much for asking, Susan, but there was one thing...